When I was 13 years old, I discovered neo-paganism, Wicca. I've mentioned this story before, a lot of you have heard it, and I'm not going to repeat it and belabor things, but suffice it to say that it changed my life. I embraced Wicca with all of the fervor of, well, a teenage convert. However, it wasn't long before I discovered a problem. Most likely, in a knee-jerk attempt to separate itself from Satanism and the devil worship that it's so often accused of being, Wicca has a lightness problem. Modern pagans have fought so hard against the label of black witchcraft that we've swung too far the other way, and we have a frustrating tendency not to acknowledge that there is a side to spirituality that isn't all bunnies, light, rainbows, and crystals. There is no acknowledgement of the multifaceted nature of the human psyche, and only the sweetest and most shallow recognition of difficult concepts such as death, grief, loss, rage. And don't get me started on paganism's whiteness issues. Unitarian Universalism can have that problem too, though. How often do we stand here, do we sit in this sanctuary and wrestle with difficult concepts within our own hearts? We love to talk about difficult social movements and our roles in them and to feel good about the work that our denomination is doing. And as a denomination, we've been working to address some of our privilege issues and some of our whiteness problems, and I'll give credit where it's due. But how often do we, each individual with a butt in a chair right now, or feet on a podium, sit here and wrestle with our own psyches, our own shadow selves? Well, we are less than 72 hours out from summer solstice, Litha. Friday was the longest day of the year and the shortest night. It is the brightest day, the pinnacle of light's power in this year. And yet, in Wiccan mythology, it is the day in which the Holly King, who rules over winter, battles and triumphs over the Oak King of the summer. Seems a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? But consider, we have reached the peak length of days, the pinnacle of light's power. And what happens when you reach a peak? Where is there to go? It's all downhill from here, folks. From now on, the days will gradually get shorter until the kings of summer and winter again do battle on the winter solstice and the shortest day when the Oak King triumphs over the darkness. We stand at the pinnacle of light and the peak of summer, but the darkness and, for my second pop culture reference of the morning, winter is coming. And our ancestors couldn't afford to forget that. Even in the midst of the season of bounty, when you could step outside of your front door and pick your breakfast from your doorstep, they could never forget, as the fable of the ants and the grasshoppers that most of us read as a child, the cold season was coming, the darkness was coming. Moreover, our ancestors, who lived in much more perilous times than most of us live in now, couldn't afford to forget that there was darkness inside themselves as well. We modern folks, we find it easy to pretend to be children of the everlasting light. And Christian culture, with its dualistic Zoroastrian roots that identifies light as good and dark as its enemy and bad, has exacerbated that. Our culture allows us to live removed from our shadow selves. We needn't accept our own capacity for violence because there's no need for us to ever be aware of it in a world in which few of us have ever raised our hands in true violence against another person. I'm not counting schoolyard scrappings because those are just fun. And maybe for me. And fewer of us see our meat in anything but a bloodless styrofoam wrapped package. I have a friend who cannot eat meat with bones in it because it reminds her too viscerally of the fact that her dinner was once a living being. She refers to it as the meat tree upon which all meat grows. And to be reminded otherwise of the shadow side of those of us who consume meat's diets makes her so uncomfortable she then cannot eat. Our children rarely die in infancy anymore, and when our elders pass, they usually do it in a sterile hospital setting where someone else is responsible for touching the corpse so that we don't ever see our loved one in any but a parody of lifelike color surrounded by soft satin. We have removed ourselves from the cycles of the seasons, the cycles of life and death, and while there are many advantages to this, I personally am a huge fan of the air conditioner, which is currently running in this building, that comes with consequences to our psyches, which evolve to live in a world full of death and danger alongside love and laughter. Good vibes only is a surprisingly toxic message when you consider what that means for the other half of your heart. So what does this have to do with Wicca's and Unitarian Universalism's lightness problem? Alethea Soul put it beautifully. If you notice, a lot of modern spiritual and religious work revolves around moving towards the light, accepting the light, and seeking for the light. And yet, by doing so, we ignore the entirety of what it is to be human. In fact, many of the spiritual and New Age teachings out there provide an escape for those who do not want to be responsible for the entirety of themselves and their lives. Understandably, the light energies are usually represented with noble values such as love, peace, joy, harmony, compassion, entirely ignoring the darker elements within us, such as anger, vengeance, control, fear, shame, competitiveness, jealousy, lust, etc. Because these darker characteristics are associated with negativity, they're avoided out of fear. There's an ideal in most Western and many Eastern cultures that a truly spiritual person somehow transcends the darker emotions such as jealousy and lust and anger, and yet Saint Augustine, whose work was one of the most pivotal influences on Christian celibacy, if you have ever actually read that man's biography, he did not transcend lust magically. He really didn't. I will not go into further detail, but feel free to Google that one. However, the briefest dip into modern psychology will remind one that only by integrating all aspects of ourselves, not somehow magically removing parts of our own psyches, hi, random blank page, can we become whole. To do less is to perform a spiritual lobotomy on oneself. We all know how well that worked. So how do we do that? And what am I even talking about in these circular and metaphorical terms? Carl Jung wrote extensively about what he called the shadow self. The persona, according to Dr. Brautier, defines what we would like to be and how we wish to be seen by the world. The word persona is derived from the Latin term for mask. However, in this instance, when we use it in Jungian terms, we are representing all of the different social masks that we wear among different groups and situations. Dr. Roy Baumeister also referred to this as the self. In this case, the self is not your internal self that he referred to as the roles which we fill, the masks which we wear, the mother, the father, the doctor, the professional, the teacher, the calm person, the green person, the spiritual person. The shadow self, however, is what is underneath those masks. The shadow is an archetype that forms part of the unconscious mind and is composed of repressed ideas, instincts, impulses, weaknesses, desires, perversions, and embarrassing fears. The archetype is often described as the darker side of the psyche, representing wildness, chaos, and the unknown. Jung believed that these latent dispositions are present in all of us, and in many instances form a strong source of creative energy. In the darkness is where we rest. Who here sleeps under bright lights? I don't. In the darkness is where we dream. In the darkness, when our eyes are closed and we cannot see the light, is where our other senses sharpen. We need the darkness, not only to balance the day. There is a hilarious episode of Bowery Street Kids, a cartoon my children like about that, in which when they activate this light that allows them to never have bedtime, the sun never goes down, and they can keep playing and playing and playing, the kids all become these violent zombies after a while because they need the rest. They need the darkness. Wise children, wise writers who were probably not children, but still. Dr. Carter Stout, a depth psychologist, goes on to explain this. She says, the parts of ourselves that we subconsciously repress or dissociate from out of fear or pain or both, usually in order to adapt to our family and societal circumstances and dynamics, comprise what we refer to as the shadow. In depth psychology, the shadow is not seen as a concentrated image that is cast onto the cement below our feet under the bright light of the summer sun, but is rather a distinct part of our internal psychological makeup. It is an amalgamation of everything about ourselves that we have lost, cut off, ignored, hidden, denied, and run from throughout our lives. One of the primary reasons the shadow is perceived as dark and threatening is because it holds the aspects of our natures that we judge as bad, as unacceptable or wrong in some way. In essence, the dark shadow is the deep well of our unwanted character traits. For example, anger and rage often live in this category, next to jealousy and greed. Anything we do not like about ourselves, feel threatened by, or cannot accept gets thrown into this repository of fear and shame. The shadow is our own personal oubliette. I, for example, much like Adam, have sort of disassociated my shadow self. I call her the predator. She is the big cat who lives in the back of my head. I have not even given her the courtesy of allowing her humanity. Well, I'm not sure that would actually be a courtesy some days. She is my id. She is my primal self. She is the one who doesn't care what promises I made to my spouse or my children. She simply sees that person and goes, ooh, what? She is the one who snarls when I have a long and tedious work project and goes, but there's sunshine for naps. She's the part of me that responds with violence when someone grabs my ass on a crowded MARTA train. But none of these things is truly evil. They are darker than the person I prefer to present with my calming energy, as I have been told I have, which for the record, knowing the inside of my head makes me giggle madly. They're my shadow, my laziness, my lust, my greed, my anger. I am my predator, and she is me. And apparently the rest of this didn't print out, so you get my memory of it. It's been a week, y'all. She is the part of me that sets boundaries, that says, you will not touch me without my consent. She is the part of me that says, you will not overload me with work when you are only paying me to be a half-time employee right now. She is the part of me that says, hey, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to go actually spend some time enjoying ourselves. She is the side of me that says, you deserve better. And sometimes she's being a greedy, greedy brat. Sometimes the you deserve is really a ridiculously poor life choice. sometimes spending my last $15 on that box of chocolate just because I'm stressed out isn't good self-care. But I need the predator. I need the part of myself that says, no, you will not touch me without my permission, or I will hurt you. I need the part of me that sets boundaries around other people. I need the part of me that says, I deserve to be happy. That says, I deserve to be treated well. She's not all good. She is violent. She is the one who would really like to break the wrist of that person who grabs me without my consent. There's a line in a Hozier song called Arsonist's Lullaby that says, don't ever tame your demons, but always keep them on a leash. Our shadow self is not someone whom we should ruthlessly remove from ourselves. To do so is to give yourself a spiritual lobotomy. However, in-depth psychology, one of the most profound tenets, and the thing which made me cry when I read it the first time personally, was when I was told that embracing the shadow removes the most destructive aspects of its power. When I know my heart inside and out, when I know what the predator is purring in my ear, I can go, you're right. I do deserve that $15 box of chocolates when I have $17 left in my account. However, you know what else I deserve? I deserve to be able to buy a real nutritious dinner that's good for my body later. So perhaps you should go take a nap. Better yet, I should go take a nap until I'm a little less hangry and your purring is a little less like a growl. The predator and I have an excellent relationship these days. My shadow self and I have an excellent relationship these days because I know her. I know my flaws and my faults and my foibles, and believe me, they are many. I could list them. It would take a long time. It's not worth it. But knowing that, I am able to work around them, and I am able to use them, and I am able to set boundaries around my poor behaviors just as I am able to set boundaries around my positive ones. Because my desire to take care of someone who is hurting and to help them, that is not a bad thing. But it descends into the shadow when it becomes an aspect of codependence. When my shadow self, my greedy, lazy, selfish self says, you really shouldn't be doing that and putting all that effort into this person. You know, sometimes she's right. Or sometimes she's just reminding me that I could go spend 6 days on the other side of the country helping somebody, or I could send them dinner via Grubhub and check in by phone every day and give them, hold space for them to be upset. Because boundaries are good for me and for the other person who will never know their own strength if I am providing the strength all the time. We need our shadow selves as much as we need our light. Because at the height of the summer solstice, at the height of the light, that is when the darkness begins to gain strength, as well we need it to. So I ask you today, where is your darkness? Who is your predator? Where is your shadow self? What does it have to tell you? What does it have to teach you? What do you have to learn from your own darkness? And perhaps it too will purr in your ear.